made their way into American musical culture. And on that foundation were and are continuing to exert a profound and indeed, in some respects, a definitive effect upon American vernacular music. Indeed, I recall, will recall to your attention, the observation by that British author, critic, that indeed what is important about American music, what is distinctive about American music, is the fact that this fusion of European and West African music created what is now, to quote Professor Kelly, what is now the worldwide language of popular music. And indeed, those of you who've had occasion to travel abroad, in whatever direction you have gone, have undoubtedly, consciously or otherwise, encountered the influence of American vernacular music upon the local musical culture. And indeed, much of that impact has been clearly an impact of African-American musical values in terms of rhythm, color, timbre, and so forth. Now, today we're going to view a documentary film about an extraordinary woman. An extraordinary woman who, in her own community, on one of the sea islands off the coast of Georgia, functioned very much as did master drummers and master musicians of West African societies. You will recall the fact that master drummers are those who have, by dint of years of study at the feet of other musicians, mastered not only all of the instruments of the drum ensembles of their communities in terms of performance and technique, but have memorized, mastered, absorbed in its entirety all of the rhythmic patterns to be played by all of those drum parts as well. It is analogous to memorizing the scores of all of the major symphonies, concertos, overtures, tone poems, and other repertory that an orchestra might play under the direction of a conductor. And no conductor attempts that kind of mastery. The documentary's name, Yonder Come Day, is in fact the name of a shout that was performed at dawn in these hidden Christian worship services in slave communities that took place out of sight of white overseers, out of sight of white preachers, out of sight of white power over the lives of the enslaved African Americans. It dates from the year 1975, and it focuses our attention upon this master musician of the New World, Miss Bessie Jones, of St. Simon's Island, one of the sea islands off the coast of Georgia. Those sea islands extend up the coast of South Carolina to Charleston as well. Here we are looking at a map of that region. Here is Charleston, South Carolina, which you will recall was a major port until the Civil War and a major entry point for Africans to this coastal south, the plantation south. Here is Savannah, Georgia, just at the boundary between Georgia and South Carolina. There's Hilton Head Island, for those who may use that as a point of reference. And the Georgia Sea Islands extend down here, and among them here is St. Simon's Island off the city of Brunswick, Georgia. Go further south, and you come to the boundary with so-called sea islands were low lands cut off from the mainland by the tides at their highest, and often one could get to the mainland when the tide was low. But for the most part, all of these islands, which were the location of many African Americans growing rice and growing other crops on plantations, were locations in which, for the most part, the African Americans, because of their isolation on these islands, were largely left alone. Which is to say, they largely lived in cultural environments, community environments, in which they themselves defined the culture, and thus, by defining it, perpetuated West African cultural values quite intensely. Very few whites, and certainly not enough whites, either to care or to be able to alter significantly the cultural values of music and community and worship that had come from West Africa. There are a number of details about this documentary film that I want you to note in advance, to take advantage of the opportunity we have to understand what Miss Bessie was doing and how it informs us about the transmission of African culture through oral tradition to the latest generation. An early point that is noted, and this is a documentary that introduces us as well to a member of the faculty at Yale University, Willie Ruff, is the importance that everybody was responsible for preserving the culture. You will remember Porchomolsky's essay makes clear that Western notions, European notions of a distinction between performers and audience has no counterpart in traditional West African society. You may not play an instrument, but if you don't, you will dance, you will sing, you will otherwise participate in a community performance. Everybody is involved. You're introduced to game songs. She teaches game songs, and you'll see some of her students who attended a workshop of hers at Yale teach game songs to elementary school children in New Haven, Connecticut. You've been introduced to game songs as part of your listening. You'll observe the role of call and response, by which needs little introduction. You've brought everybody into the process of music making. The concept of functionality is summarized by Miss Bessie. In her life, with each job there was a song, there is a song, to take up the boredom or the pain. Music is functional, a West African value in the New World. You're introduced to work songs like one called Blind Emma, used for hoeing cotton, that is, weeding cotton, chopping cotton. You're introduced to the central role of religion. Again, in West African society, boundaries that we think of as rather rigid between the secular and the sacred were meaningless. Religion is central. You need your son who himself presides over the community's church. And discussed almost in fast passing at the beginning of the film is that when deprived of their drums, as Africans were in the Carolina colony after 1739, Miss Bessie's ancestors, whom she described as the drum folk, devised substitutes to provide percussion within musical performance, an adaptation to preserve culture. Varieties of hand clapping, the hand bone, a form of using the body as a source of percussive sound, which you will see demonstrated, and of course the tambourine. Let me observe that Miss Bessie's drum folk ancestors came from Nigeria. Her grandfather was a member of the Igbo people of Nigeria. She knows where at least one strain of her ancestors came from, specifically in West Africa. And, as I say, her grandfather. How many of you have great-grandparents who are alive? Very interesting story a couple weekends ago that I will discuss another time about a great-grandmother of a person to whom I was speaking who had been enslaved in her youth. Not that far back. So, here we go. So maybe we get full cooperation from the Do not interrupt your sentence.
The more you talk, This is what she enjoys most, teaching children, anybody's children, the songs and dances and the traditions they represent.
My young sister, walk off the top, the feet may slip, so low, still off the moon, hold off the moon, I'm going home.
Many of Miss Bessie's children's games speak of a farm life that no longer exists, even on St. Simon. But she believes these songs and games will yet survive and be passed on as long as children find them challenging and fun to play. This game is called Shoot Turkey Shoot. Slaves were forced to do the same kind of work all day, day in and day out. Giving tools like the hoe a name, singing to it must have made the work at least a little easier. There was no rest at the end of a row, and the slaves had to turn around, dig a hole in the ground, and start all over again.
You turn around, dig a hole in the ground,
On St. Simon's, music has always been a natural part of everyday life. People did the work that had to be done, the planning, the cooking, the taking care of children. But as Miss Bessie says, with each job there was a song to take up the boredom or the pain. Miss Bessie is getting two of her great-grandchildren, Franklin and Ruth, dressed for Sunday church service. Religion is a central force in Bessie's life, as much a part of her as her songs.
These musical traditions that Miss Bessie got from her grandfather are kept alive in her community largely through the church services. And it's because of the church that these traditions have been passed on to other generations.
Bessie's son, Reverend George Jones, conducts small evening services during the week, but Sundays bring the entire community together.
But everybody in his own way, because the Lord knows the soul, and he knows the mind, he knows our thoughts are far off, so we just say yes to him.
Yeah.
look at my grace and gravity.
From time to time during the service, people will get up and testify, telling how they feel about things, and especially about their own relationship to God. Some believe that God has kept them alive when all else has failed.
I don't know what you think to do, somebody said, but I can't serve
them. In this church, every new member gets baptized. Today, Harold Clay is joining the church. The baptism starts with a song and then a procession to the water.
People can see this, you know, because as we go down and other people can witness the occasion of baptizing. And there's a peculiar reality about water. We've been in the depths of it, and we drank it and experimented, but there's still something about water that I feel is unknown.
The yard behind the church is a place where the community often gathers.
In Europe and in the United States, it's common to divide music into categories, secular and religious. In the world of Bess's grandfather, all music was integrated into life, into the concerns of living, which include the spiritual. Here in America, we're making obsolete what just might be our greatest treasure, our old people. It is they who are the tribal encyclopedia of our culture. Though their roots may go back to West Africa or Central Europe or wherever, it's from our old people that we may learn what we were and who we are today.
We've already looked at some of the implications of the drum being outlawed or taken away in the United States.
But Miss Bessie is going to show us some games today, and one of them is a game that actually speaks to the need of the retaining or the regaining of a lost language, of the African language. And she learned this game from her grandfather, who came from Africa when he was 7, and it's a game of words, African-sounding words, that we don't know the meaning of at all. But slave children kept singing this and playing this in their games through Georgia and Seattle and all. It's called Mama Lama Kumalama. We don't, Miss Bessie said, we could very well be cussing and not know what we're talking about. So how about some of the people who are going to play the games, too?
This music demands involvement. The division between audience and performer would be considered insulting in traditional African society.
Any way you want to do your African thing, that's your business.
In passing on this music, Bessie Jones passes on a need for participation. This, Professor Ruff believes, may hold the greatest value for our own culture.
Music is a part of life. Africans have songs for every purpose and for every occasion. Songs to call down the spirits. Songs with insults or complaints about working or living conditions. And songs which teach correct manners, how to behave, or make fun of someone who's acted badly. Even tribal history is carried on in songs. From ancient legends to local gossip.
It's a Josephine. Everybody Josephine. When I say Josephine, everybody say, ma'am. You don't mind that, do you? Okay, and when I say, when I say you want to shout, say yes, ma'am. I said, when you say right now, you know you really want to shout.
When Miss Bessie asks everyone to shout, she doesn't mean for them to call out, but rather to dance. To shout is to dance. And the shout is inherited from the religious dances of Africa.
See? See? Got to be a dog fight, got to be a
I got a ball of coal. See, I got my time table, so it's about those, you know, and the about those pulled American back door, that's the man. See, I got a ball of coal, damn, see, everybody, see, I got a pain in the head, you do the same time, I got a finger ring, do the same time, I got a pain in my knee, do the same time, I got slipping shoes, point out, say, all right, and I'll shake the baby, see, all right, and then, and get his horn ready, street, everybody, again, Josephine, Sam, you want to shout, Sam, Queen.
The slaves who came to America came from different parts of Africa and spoke many different languages. And in this game, this chair was a symbol of loneliness. And this was a way for slaves to get to know one another very quickly.
Thank you.
One important aspect of this oral tradition is the responsibility it places upon everybody. This music always has been subject to change by the people who use it. And because it's not written down, each generation is forced to participate and to make an input into this tradition. There's a dramatic orientation to much of this musical tradition, and in Africa, great emphasis is placed on individual performance, so everybody gets a chance to shine.
And that's essential for the... For
students
the,
meet with Professor Ruff in his campus apartment throughout the school year.
Of that period of slavery was to read or to learn to read between the lines. All of the information in the book is not there on the line from left to right. More of it is in between those lines.
But if there's no written stuff, will a lot of material get lost?
In our environment, yes, that is the great danger. But you must also look at how long the whole culture survived, and with what amount of authenticity it survived without benefit of print. No two performers in European tradition can agree on how rock should be performed. And it's all written. Huh?
Yeah.
So we have an oral tradition, then on one hand being pure in terms of one generation passing it on by the laying on of hands. And that's more reliable than the print.
Yale students Dominica Jones and David Smith are passing on the songs they've learned from Bessie Jones and Woody Ruff to these students at New Haven's Grant School.
Working down in the brickyards, and they wouldn't pay. So this was one of the subtle ways that they just kind of hinted, you know, you're not paying us. It goes way down yonder in the brickyard, remember me. And see, the remember me part is about you're not paying me, so remember me.
Another New Haven school, the Baldwin. Three more of Woody Ruff's students have been working with these fourth graders. Igbo tribesmen, still chained together, threw themselves into the water rather than submit to a life of slavery.
They told us that they stood on the side and everything, and then they sang their own song and went down to that. They said it for
You find a very few people like my mother that took the time with children to get down. I mean, at her age now, she's when she's feeling real good, she's almost like kids. And I think that as long as she be, I would always think that there'd be rain plays and songs and things on this island. And I'm hoping that, that we'll be able to spread farther than here. I'm hoping that this will only just be the beginning of trying to get what we once had spread out again.
Sign is now called